Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
All right, hello. So last year on Father's Day, Pastor was encouraging men that have been a father figure to anybody to come up. And I looked to Ray Starr and told him that he needed to get up here. Yeah. And he tried to tell me no, but that doesn't happen very often. So it did not work. So I'm up here to honor him, which was supposed to happen last year.
Yes.
Or last week. So as a six-year-old girl, Ray used to bring me here on the bus ministry. Not me, but a lot of children that didn't have the means of coming. And if it wasn't for him in that ministry, I would have never been in this church. Not only bringing me to church, but picnics. We used to have them at Lake Elmo, junior camps when he would transfer all of us down there. And then even Tuesday nights for choir practice, he made sure I got here and he made sure I was okay and that I was safe. So for me, he has been a father figure in this church, and not just me, like I said, for a lot of other kids. So it was funny, last week we sang Jesus Loves Me, and that's one of the songs we used to sing on the bus, and he was the first person to really tell me that and instill that in me. So I have a card for you if you'd like to come up here.
Happy Father's Day to Ray Starr. What else you want? On a Sunday morning. I'm melting down here. I'm going to preach to you today about destiny. Today. Your destiny for today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Matthew 6, 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to read several verses through verse 15 and then chapter 4, 7 through 12. Everybody say your destiny today. Today. Everybody say today. Get your preaching finger out and say today. Today. Shake your finger in the face of the devil and say today. I'm not waiting tomorrow. I'm not looking forward to something. Today. I will be fulfilled. I will be filled with joy today. I will be overwhelmed by the presence of God today. I am in the will of God right now today. Hebrews chapter 3, 7 through 9. So the Holy Spirit says, today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. Today, everybody say today. Verse 15, please. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Chapter 4, verse 7, please. Chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore God again on a certain day, calling it today, everybody say today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Therefore, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Verse 12, would you read it with me, please? For the word of God is alive and active. Say it louder. Let's start again. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Praise the Lord. Today, God is always at his work. You may step in and out of harmony with God. Let's call being in harmony with God, or being spiritual, or thinking properly, let's call that the kingdom. How many of you know that there are times when your thinking is clear, your thinking is right, maybe you remember a verse of scripture, maybe you're singing a song, somehow you respond to the Spirit and you realize, I'm in the kingdom. This is the presence of the Lord. My life is filled with God right now. How many of you know what it is to be outside the kingdom? How many of you know that you can come and go from the kingdom pretty quickly? How many of you know that just one thought, you're just one thought away from the kingdom? You can be in a bad mood. You can, Sparky was saying, you could come in with the cares of the world on your shoulders and a song begin, and suddenly you think a different thought and you realize, I'm in the kingdom. You're just a thought. It's a spiritual thing. The kingdom is within you. You are in the kingdom now. But recognizing it and knowing it, realizing it, that's when you feel and sense the presence of the Lord. I want to tell you that there are times when we step out of the kingdom. We're not doing what we ought to do or thinking like we should think, but God continues. He is on a straight line path. There is a eternal continuum. You can't stop God's will because you act like a fool. He will take your foolishness and bring you back around to the kingdom, but you'll find out he was all the while working for your good. You can't go anywhere that God is not. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So he said to Israel, today, if you hear his voice, don't do like they did in the past. Enter his rest. Come today. Everybody say, today. And Hebrews 4:12, we've quoted that. For the word of the Lord is quick and powerful. It's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we've shaken preachers, have done it. I've done it, preached. This word of God is alive. That's not the word that he's talking about. He's talking about the word today, enter his rest. That word is alive today. You wake up tomorrow, it's going to be a new day, and it is today. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I've learned that doing the will of God is not bad. God is good. All the ideas I had about the will of God that were so harsh, and it seemed like anything you said you didn't want to do, that's what God was going to make you do. I've learned that God's will is good for me. It's joy. It's perfect. It's right. And so today, if I do the will of God, I'm in the perfect peace of God, the joy of the Lord. Listen to me. If he deals with your heart today to give, you say, well, if I give, I won't have something. What you don't have today, you will have more tomorrow because you obey the Lord today. He never fails. He never fails. So you got to learn to do today what the Holy Spirit has spoken for you to do. Would you say amen to that? Okay, I want to give you this idea. Often we talk about our destiny. We talk about something that's in the future. The will of God, maybe a big picture. What is your destiny? I want to tell you that today is your destiny. Today. Because what you do today affects your tomorrow. We've got all kind of positive mental attitude books about decision making. But the decisions you make today are going to affect tomorrow. So if you can understand that all of your past has brought you to this moment, All the things that happened to you, all the good and bad, all the, for church purposes now, all of the religious abuse or all of the revelations that you received in church bring you to who you are today, right? You are a culmination. You're the amalgamation. You are the total of all of those experiences. Do you understand? And there were times in my past where I thought, this is not good. And now I look back and say, but that was working for my good. And that today, I have an understanding of God I could not have had it not been for that. So that even those moments and those days in the past that seemed to be off or wrong or anti or somehow failure have all worked to bring me to where I am today. So today is the destiny that God was bringing me through, to bring me to this revelation, so that the church could respond and give like we just did, so that I can stand and shout and praise the Lord. All of my failure brought me a revelation of His grace. All of the times that I followed His Spirit have strengthened me, and you as a church have encouraged me, like Nate is saying, you lift us up. You've encouraged me to follow the Spirit, so I'm better than I was before. I'm stronger than I used to be. I feel stronger in my ministry. I feel more love from you. I feel like I have support and I can follow the Lord and I can say yes instantly to the Lord. Because today, if you hear His voice. So do you understand that God has been preparing you for today, and today is a preparation for tomorrow? Think with me. When Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, there was a young man, his name was Joshua. Joshua became Moses' assistant. Numbers 11:28, if you're taking notes, Moses' aide since he was young. Joshua was Moses' aide. The Bible says in Exodus 33:11 that God met Moses face to face at the tabernacle. Do you remember that? While I'm doing this, maybe get this verse for me, Exodus 33:11, if you could just get that for me. I didn't give it to them at the computer. It says that God would meet Moses face to face, and God would talk to Moses in the tabernacle, in the tent. But if you can get this verse, it tells us that there was a time when he returned to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, stayed in the tent. Joshua was being groomed. Joshua was being prepared. He didn't know then that he was going to someday lead the children of Israel into the promised land. But what he was doing that day was honoring the presence of the Lord, honoring Moses. Some of you think, well, I'm waiting and waiting for God to come through. No, you're doing things right now that are preparing you. Your impatience and your struggle with your thoughts is all part of God's plan to make you who you ought to be. Oh, I want to lead. I want to be involved. I want to do some. What you're doing right now is getting you ready for that. Serve the Lord today. Celebrate today. Say, I know that I may not be where God's taking me, but I am where He brought me. Celebrate that. Think about that. Elisha. The Bible says that Elijah came to Elisha and threw his cloak over his shoulders while Elisha was plowing a field. I don't understand. I've read a little bit of the history of it, but there's some significance to an older gentleman putting his cloak over a younger gentleman as if to say, you're my apprentice now, or follow me, or come with me. Elisha shouts to Elijah, this great prophet that's well known, oh, just a minute, let me go kiss my family goodbye. Elijah said to Elisha, what'd I do to you? Will you put your coat over me? I'm coming with you. The Bible says he slaughtered the oxen and he burnt the plow and he made a sacrifice and fed his friends and he took off after Elijah. The Bible says he poured water over the hands of Elijah, which means he would help Elijah wash his hands, getting ready for dinner. He became his servant. He ministered to him. And before Elijah was taken to heaven, he said to Elisha, if you see me when I go, you can have whatever you ask from God. Elisha said, I want twice as much as you've got. I want a double portion of your blessing. I want twice of your spirit. That's what I want. And when he went to heaven, the Bible says that the mantle of Elijah fell to the ground and Elisha picked up the mantle. How many of you know that we use that idea in business? It's not just a Bible story. The mantle fell on him. Even big corporations, when someone steps in to be a new CEO, or we talk about the mantle of the government fell on the president. The man, we use this idea. That idea came from Elijah and Elisha. But until Elisha received the mantle and wore Elijah's mantle, he was a servant. But every day he poured water on Elijah's hands, Elisha was building his destiny. This is what I'm supposed to do. Everybody say today. Today. David. How many of you know that David killed Goliath? It's a big deal. But do you know that that wasn't his destiny? That was just his destiny today. God planned on making David king. But he fights a lion and kills a lion. He fought a bear and killed a bear. You can say, oh my God, I got a giant in front of my face. I thought I was supposed to become king. I thought God had great plans for me. You do. He does. Today, kill the giant. Today, kill the bear. Oh, I want to be king. No, hang on a minute. You're going to get there. But what about the victory today? How about today you say, he woke me up this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to serve the Lord today. Because what you don't realize is the things that God is doing in you today, it's building your life today. I took this suitcase from my mother's room. In 1976, this was the only suitcase left in our home. My mom and dad had flown to California, and I was going to go to a conference, and I wanted to go to that conference and not fly. I didn't want to pay for an airfare. I wanted to go to South Africa. In the spring and summer of 1976, I felt the Lord lead me, deal with my heart, to go to South Africa. I want to preach in South Africa. Inside this suitcase today is the Bible that I carried then. This old Bible that's been rebound three times, and it's all ratty and old, and the edges are frayed, and I've had to fix it. In the front of this Bible are some pages, as you can see, that I could write in. And in 1976, I put in the front of this Bible on this page the notes about South Africa. The Republic of South Africa is 471,445 square miles, the size of California, Arizona, Utah, and Nevada. There were, in 1976, 23,171,000 people. The number one religion, the biggest denomination in the nation, was the Dutch Reformed Church. It had nearly 2 million members, and it included Afrikaners and those Dutch-speaking whites, Methodists, Anglicans, the Roman Catholic Church, Lutherans, Presbyterians, Congregationalists, Hindus, Jews, Muslims, and Baptists. I took these notes. I'm going to go to South Africa. I take this suitcase because it was the only one at the house, and it was brand new, and my mom didn't want it to get scratched up on the airplane. So I took a blue crayon, and I wrote on it, West, L.A. And I knew when I went west, I was going to have to go south. And then so I would go south. And then when I go south far enough, I'd turn around and go west. So this is exactly what you saw on the freeway in 1976 as I started walking toward California from Cincinnati. That's what you saw. This is what I did. And then I got to St. Louis, and it was in the middle of the night, and the freeways were going everywhere, so I laid down in the median between the freeways. I held this up. I was so tired, I just waved my arm. A guy picked me up in St. Louis and drove me west, and I got to Pueblo, Colorado in the evening, and a car went by, and the guys at that exit went, woo, and I went, woo, I was so happy. And it was Marty Chapman and another Bill Decker. Remember these names. Guys I went to Bible college with that drove by and said, that's Mickey. So they went off the next day, came back and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm hitchhiking to California. So I spent the night with them. The next morning at 8:30, I was picked up by a guy named Dennis Gatlin in a green Grand Prix. I put that suitcase on the top of his things in the back seat. I start talking to Dennis Gatlin about Jesus. We got to the intersection Route 40 to Los Angeles. I was headed to Anaheim, and he said to me, if you'll tell me about Jesus, I'll take you to that conference. I went to the conference. I baptized him. He had a broken leg. I wrapped his leg in a plastic garbage bag, marched him out in the Pacific Ocean, and baptized him in the ocean. And the night before he went home to Mobile, Alabama, he was 1,500 miles out of his way. Terry and I went on our first date in his car. I kissed her that night. And she said to her, "Mommy's a good kisser." I'm making a point now. April the 8th, 1978, we got married. We had Tiffany, and then Brittany, then Ashley, and Michael. 1978, we moved to Racine, Wisconsin. Became a youth pastor in Racine, Wisconsin. 81, we moved to Cincinnati, Ohio. Became an associate pastor there in Cincinnati, and we traveled and preached and did conferences, and as a matter of fact, preached here in this church and at conferences here in Minnesota in that time. 1984, we moved to South Bend, Indiana. Watch what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, every day something was going on. Every day, all of these things that happen. You think it's insignificant? No, God is leading you in your destiny every day. I've made horrible mistakes along the way. I've done terrible things along the way. I've completely lost my mind and then have the Holy Spirit come and draw me back onto my daily destiny as he walked me forward. And so November the 27th or 28th, I can't remember, Sunday last November, a guy named Jacques Van Bummel comes to speak at our church, and he's from South Africa. That Sunday afternoon, I show him my Bible, and he says, "I want you to come and preach in South Africa." Now I go back to 1976 in this suitcase. And the reason I had this suitcase, and the reason that Terry and I dated, and the reason we got four kids, and the reason that I'm here right now is because every day, God has a destiny for that day. Every day, God has a plan every day. And you say, "Well, I blew it. I've got off the plan." No, you didn't. He had his hand on you the whole time. You say, "You mean he let me?" Yes, he'll let you do whatever you got to do. But he's going to come around and change your thinking until you realize, I'm serving an awesome God who never fails. I fail. I get crazy. I get off. But he's got a plan. And the reason that you're here today is because somewhere in your past, he moved you. He adjusted your thinking. Here, Ray and Kathy Paradowski met them in 1978 when their children were small. How did they get here? And Karen, how did it work out that you are here today when a couple of weeks ago we're praying and the Spirit of the Lord is moving on you? And I was talking about you guys today. And Stephanie, look what God is doing. Well, I thank God for our friendship, and I thank God for our relationship, and I really thank God for my wife. But there's something deeper than all of that and all of you in my soul that says God has his hand on my life. There's a destiny for me. And I'm trying to preach to you today that that's you. That's you. That's not just me. Please turn to Acts chapter 17, and I'll try to finish. Acts chapter 17. I'll try to finish. Somebody say, "Nice try." Nice try. It's a good try. Swing and a miss. This is Acts 17, verse 22. Acts 17, 22. Oh, my God, if you just get this. If you just my faith is so high in God right now. My sense of the ultimate plan of God in our lives is the God who made the world and 22, Paul stood in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of that," where am I? That's it. "People of Athens," I'm going to read it up here with you. "I see that in every way you're very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you're ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it." How many of you believe that? You believe that? You believe in God? You believe he's the Almighty God? We sang about his holiness, his greatness today. "The Lord of heaven and earth does not live in temples built by human hands." How many of you are thankful he doesn't stay in this building when you go home? Read on. "And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives," somebody shout everyone, "everyone life. Everybody, he gives everybody breath. And he gives everybody everything else. Come on, somebody, give God praise for just a moment. This is from God. God did this. From one man, he made the nations that they inhabit the earth, and he marked out their appointed times. Terry Joe, he knows exactly where you are right now. And the history, the boundaries of their lands. Let me read that from a different translation. Listen to this. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. Exact place. He knew exactly where you are. He knows exactly where you are, and he knows exactly what time it is. This is your time. Now, that just freaks me out. Because 40 years ago, I want to go to South Africa. 40 years. And all these things have passed. And on the 9th of July, I'm going to go to South Africa. In 2017. And I'm going, I feel destiny. And God says to me, you should have felt destiny. Because it's been happening every day. I've been working all this time. Going Friday with you, Sparky. And I love Sparky. Matter of fact, when he walked in today, Terry said, there's your friend. There's my buddy. Oh, there's your buddy. All right, my buddy. Well, he's my friend too. There's your buddy. So I know Sparky. A couple of years ago, I went to Canada fishing with him, and he's got two grandsons that wanted to be baptized. So we jump in the river, the lake up in Canada, climb out of the boats, jump in the lake, and baptize them. Sparky says, hey, I got three more grand boys want to be baptized. They want you to do it in Canada. You mean I got to go fishing? No! Not for another week, no! Walleye! It's destiny, Sparky! It's destiny. I love those boys. We got this little thing going about catching fish and all this little relationship. I never had a relationship like that with a preacher. I was scared of preachers. Preachers, when I was growing up, were mean people. And I'm trying to change their minds and make them know, I love you, boys. We're going to fish and talk and stay in a cabin and eat together, and I'm going to baptize them. And I'm looking back saying, how did this happen that God would bring us here? The girls, some of you don't know the story, but the girls were kidnapped, and we came here to preach and couldn't stay in our house. And I came and prayed one Monday morning, put my heart right here, somewhere about right here, and said, God, are you calling, are you telling me to move to St. Paul? They said, yes. And I'm going, here we go. I thought we were in trouble. I thought my family was being destroyed. My kids are running. They got this guy's on the loose that kidnapped him, and oh my God, it's crazy. No, it was exactly on that day where I was supposed to be. And I am telling you, he knows the exact, read on, from one nation he made these inhabit the whole earth. He marked out their appointed times and history and boundaries of the lands. Read on. God did this. God did it. God did it. How did you come to be part of this church? How'd that happen? That you sit here and yell amen and oh my God and fall out and we're friends? He knew. He knew. He knew that he needed to send me here, and then he needed to send her here so we could hook up and mess with this church a little bit. God did it. Why? Why did God do all the things? Why has he given you this day? Why are you here today? So that maybe you'd reach out for him. Maybe you'd search for him. Maybe with all that's going on in your life, you'd say, well, now that's a thought. Look at the steps that brought me today. And it's because God did it so that I could find him. I'm not going to keep searching. I'm going to find him. And then he's going to make you know I've never been far from you. You, not a church, not the preacher, but destiny. Today. Let's stand, shall we? You are right now, today, exactly where you're supposed to be. Right now. Don't keep worrying about tomorrow or if this will happen or that will happen. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Enter his rest. Enter completion. I'm going to go to South Africa. I'm going to be preaching to the Dutch Reformed Church. That's a little scary. I'm going to be preaching in black African churches, and that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. Terry and I are going to give food to villages. I'm going to shoot some animals and give the food away. I saw a video last night. They put bass, American bass, in this pond and said, "Do you want to catch them?" I said, "No." All of this has come. You're coming today. Nate's the timing, Sparky, that you'd come today. How about if we just live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit? How about if we just believe that God's got his hand on us? How about if today you just believe that the Lord has blessed you and that today is your day? Today, don't harden your hearts. Hear him and come in. Enter his rest. He's not far from every one of us. Father, we thank you for the deep assurance of your Spirit, for speaking into our minds and into our spirits today. What a joy it is. What harmony there is. What peace there is. Lord, at this time in the church services in my past, we would invite people to come and pray and seek you. Today we dismiss saying we are filled with you. We have you. You are with us. God is for us. And nobody can be against us. And we thank you for it. We're happy. We're fulfilled today. And we bless you. And everybody say, thank you, Jesus. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.